And good morning. Good morning to you. How are you? I'm good, thank you. And you, I wanted to let our listeners know that we are, well, first of all, this is Heart of Mind Radio over the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. And my guest this morning is Sylvia Moss, Goddess of the Diamond Light. And she is one who will assist you to rejuvenate your brilliant body, enhance your exquisite inner light, and illuminate your soul's journey. Sylvia is a proficient vibrational healer and leading spiritual teacher with a passion for helping others grow and transform. She is an owl high priestess and well known for her extraordinary abilities as a vibrational sound alchemist and for her powerful use of alchemy crystal singing bowls. She is a crystal singing bowl master alchemist, using the bowls in both private and group sessions to help people deepen their connection with spirit and expand their inner light. Her extensive training in a variety of modalities allows her to facilitate many different facets of healing and spiritual growth. She is a certified Brennan Healing Science practitioner, transformational energetics therapist, counselor of light, Akashic reader, and interfaith minister. She is the founder of Diamond Portals of Light Healing System and maintains an active international healing practice. She is the keeper of Angelic Doorways of Light and author of the photography book Angels of New York, A Meditative Photographic Journey. And you can find out more about Sylvia and her work at sylviamosshealer.com or angelsofnewyorkbook.com. So again, I welcome you, Sylvia, to Heart of Mind Radio.
Thank you so very much. It's great to be here.
And it's really wonderful to have you because you have a really expansive background and experience on this whole process of our human evolution, I believe is how I would characterize
yes.
it. How we are lifting ourselves from a limited third dimensional existence into one that is more expansive, including greater levels of dimension, but also greater capacities.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if you could start by telling us a little bit about your journey and how you came to be the goddess of the diamond light.
Oh, dear. Maybe we need two shows now. I was raised in a regular family, and we were Protestant, and we went to church and blah, 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 all of that. And when I grew up, of course, I said, I don't want any of that. That's, you know, please. And so I drifted away from the church. Then in 1978, I was married. I had raised a family, and my husband was part of an organization that supported Africa and the African medical community. And they sent doctors over there, and their leader went over every year and taught the people how to take care of themselves medically. So because my husband was part of that, he was then invited to go over to Africa from time to time. And so I went one year. And the last day that I was there, I thought I was, you know, I was having this amazing experience. I thought it was the animals. It probably was. And I thought it was the people. I thought it was everything. Except the one thing that I didn't realize what it was, it was God. Because I had this amazing experience with this animal, like way off in the distance. And I felt like I was looking right into his eyes. And I just was, you know, totally expanded, totally in love. And when I came back, I thought, oh, I've got to go back to Africa, you know, the whole nine yards. And it turns out that the next thing I know, I was in a church photographing, because when I went to Africa, I was going to photograph and learn how to take pictures, and that was kind of a joke because when I came back, I didn't have very many pictures. But I started taking photographs like I had always known how to do it. And I was getting these amazing photographs in New York City. And someone sent me to a church, said, oh, go to this church. They have fabulous arches, which you seem to like to take. And I go to this church, and it's gorgeous, and they have this choir, and they invite me to sing in the choir. 3 years later, I was involved with their healing service, giving healings, you know, as a regular prayer service. And the next thing I know, a friend of mine said, oh, if you like to do that, then I'm studying with this woman. Maybe you should go study with her. And her name was Barbara Brennan. And so I started studying with Barbara Brennan. But it all came from my experience in Africa, reaching God again. And I know it sounds hokey and kind of crazy, but that's the way it was. And so from then on, I was in Barbara's class. I graduated. I became a healer, and I started doing everything. But I'd also, when I was in my earlier career, I was in the theater, and I had studied singing. So I had a somewhat trained singing voice. So within my healing, I started toning. And I found that sound was this incredible healer. And then I started doing research on it, and I found all kinds of other things about what sound does. And that Edgar Cayce, you may have heard this, I don't know, I think it's a very popular thing that he said. But he said in 1938, sound will be the medicine of the future. And sound is a very big component now in healing. So all of that, that's all the background that led up to this incredible life that I do have. I mean, that again sounds a little hokey when it comes out of my mouth, but it's true. And again, my work led me to photographing these angels, because then once again, I go back into the photography, and it turns out that I had this whole collection of angel photographs, and someone suggested to me, why don't you do a book on angels? And it's, you know, how sometimes you always are looking for what's my next thing that I'm supposed to be doing, and somebody says something. Well, that's the way my life has always seemed to have been. Someone sort of gives me this clue, like, why didn't I think of it? Because it's about me. But then I spent 17 years photographing this angel book of the angel art in New York City. And it became a meditation. It is a meditation book, and it's a healing book. Because my belief is, when I was doing this book, was that when the artist was either sculpting or painting or using stained glass to make these angels, this angel artwork, they were channeling the essence of that actual angel, that actual entity. And it does now come through the photographs, because I can feel it when even though I'm like, I can see them in my sleep, I know that essence is there, and that essence then is communicated to the reader. And I think that happens with most art, but it's most prominent with spiritual art, because you really get to have the spiritual experience of that. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. And I do groups with sound and crystal bowls, and it's just really, people really heal. I mean, it's not just a nice experience, because, like, you know, when we go and we have a massage or whatever we do, it's first of all, it's a good experience for us. But with sound and with energy healing and vibrational healing, it affects the cells. Now, you may know a lot about this, Catherine. I'm not sure. But the cells, they've done research on it, but the sound literally changes the DNA of the cell and the cellular structures. And that's why people can heal. And people heal when I work with them. So that's kind of the basics of it.
And I agree with you. I am as well an energy healer. I do a different kind of healing, I think, that I might focus on. But the underlying principles are definitely the same, because we are vibrational beings. We only have an illusion of physicality.
Right.
But our makeup is really energetic. And one of the things that people may not really comprehend is that when we go through different situations in life, when we're in certain environments, they can have an adverse effect, and very often it can shift the energy in our body, and we end up holding on to either older energies or old wounds, or even, you know, psychic information that can be challenging for us in our life. So sometimes the best way to lift that energy out of our body is through the vibrational practices.
Yes.
And what I love about sound, toning, and the crystal bowls and this kind of thing is because it actually begins not only to lift our own vibration, but it allows us to become entrained so that our body will begin to adopt this new higher level of vibration into its cellular memory. And in that way, it can be sustained over time. So just the way we hold toxic vibration in our body, we can also hold an uplifting vibration. So I completely see the relationship that you're speaking about with regard to your sound bowls, the sound baths, and the work that you do with people.
Mm-hmm.
And you do have an event coming up, and it's actually today.
Yes.
So let's people about this, and then we can continue on with the conversation. It's today, November 11th, from 7:30 to 9 p.m., and it is is the place called Heart Zone?
No, that's the that's what I'm calling the meditation, the event.
Okay, it's Sound Salon in the Heart Zone.
Mm-hmm.
And the address is 1133 Broadway at 26th Street on the sixth floor, Suite 609. So just so in case people don't get all this information in this moment, where can they go to reprise the information so they'll know?
They can go to my website, which you mentioned is Sylvia Moss. I'll spell it out for them. Sylviamoss. Then the next word is healer, healer.com. And if they scroll down to the bottom where I have events and things coming up, it gives the whole thing. And then also on my page of services where I list everything that I do, it has the same information. And it's an angel meditation and a sound bath salon. And the reason that it's two is because I've been doing them separately, but because of what's going on right now in our city and our country, I decided to do a joint. So it'll be a little bit more, it'll be more crystal bowls along with the angel meditation. And the name was channeled to me, for me. By my spiritual teacher, by the name of, whose name is Kuala, she's Australian, and I was just having a regular session with her about what my next step was and where I'm going and all of that kind of thing. And one of my questions was, I was about to embark on doing an angel meditation group, and I said, did she have any information she wanted to give me? And so then she went into this whole thing about what this was to be about, and some of the details of it, and she and the guide said that it would be in the heart zone of the angelic realm, and so then we decided to call it the heart zone. And I've had four or five, because I just started them in the fall, and they're just very powerful. And I'm working with six archangels, and then I use the crystal bowls to really bring out all that frequency and in the meditation to really enhance people when they go off into that other time zone of meditation. And it's quite remarkable. The things that you mentioned about the crystal bowls, one of the things that I've been telling people recently, because I noticed it for myself, is that when I play the crystal bowls and then I go out and do my day out into the world, I began to notice that people were responding to me in a very different way. I'd be walking down the street and strangers would just smile at me, or people that I knew responded to me totally differently. And I couldn't figure out what it was. And then I realized, what am I doing differently? And I realized I've been playing the bowls practically every morning, just maybe even for 5 minutes. And it was changing it was visibly changing my frequency. And I think that is what the gift of the crystal bowls and sound does. Because, you know, it does change our frequency and it changes the DNA and in the cellular thing, as you were saying. But it visibly, we become who we are. I've never said that before, but that's really what the bowls do. I mean, I think the bowls also, they enhance any vibrational healing that you, I, or any other healers are doing. It just brings it up stronger. And when people hear the crystal bowls, they fall in love with them, like I did. I mean, first time I heard the crystal bowls, the next thing I knew, I had seven bringing them home from an event.
So what was that like? Was it like an adoption?
Yes, it was. And as, as I was rolling, the building that I lived in had one of those luggage carts that you can take things back up to your apartment in. And as I'm rolling these boxes of crystal bowls down the hall, I'm going, what have I just done? Thousands of dollars. And I said, my God, how am I going to pay for this? And I'm talking to myself, of course. And I said, why did I do this? And this voice said, not a different voice, but a voice in my head said, you're going to have concerts. And I went, oh, my God. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was the beginning. But it's very strange how we're led to these different places. Like I was led to this church to take pictures. And it's just, it all seems so fanciful and Alice in Wonderland, but it's real. That's what the crazy part. And sometimes my younger daughter makes fun of me because I make interesting noises when I do healings, but she likes what she feels, so. But I do think it's important for healers and what is known as light workers. I think it's fabulous what you're doing, Catherine, is, you know, getting the word out that this is available to people. And it's available on many, many levels. And, you know, you don't have to spend thousands of dollars to go get your vibration raised. So it's just, it's very moving, I would say. And doing the angel meditations, I wasn't going to do them because I said, oh, people don't want to do angels. I mean, people are tired of angels. They want something big and something, you know, they're going to, more dramatic to change their lives. But people just love to come and sit and bask in the angels. It's just, it really is, it's very rewarding. And I get to be on the other end of, you know, receiving that energy too. So it's, and it's fun. It's not like serious and you know, and dramatic and scary. It's not that at all. It's just, it's what life really is.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you think in terms of the angelic forces, they themselves are also vibrational.
Yes.
So, and this is why very often you associate music and song with that energy. And so to me, it makes perfect sense that there would be a combination because if you are invoking these divine forces, and you're using the crystal bowls, that there's going to be some merging there of energies and healing potential that will be coming through. from both sources, the bulls as well as the divine energies. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to me it sounds like it will be a very beautiful experience. And I know I have participated in a number of vibrational healing events where it's really basically a sound bath and it just flows through your body. But what people don't realize sometimes is there's also an accompanying journeying that can take place. So for me, when I go into a sound bath or an environment in which there's a beautiful sound, I find that if I can maintain my inner awareness, that I could actually journey and have my own insights or perhaps have my own visions while all of this is taking place.
Yes.
Because even though it's a group event and everybody has a shared experience, there's also an individual unique experience that everyone can have. Do you find
yes.
that to be the case?
Absolutely. And one of the things that I always do at the end is that I give people, you know, a few minutes to come back, and then I ask them to turn to the person next to them and share if they want to. Some people aren't ready to, but to share what their experience was so that they can get that they actually had an experience. It wasn't just, you know, like in a dream state. They actually, something actually happened to them. And that process in itself is remarkable, that people share where they went and what they saw. And some people, you know, drift off and go into that twilight sleep. But most people, you know, when they come back, even though they've gone off into a twilight sleep, they realize that something did happen. And definitely. And the other thing, you reminded me that the crystal bowls, the man who makes the crystal bowls, he told me, oh, some time ago, I think it was probably when I was about to publish the Angel book, he said that there are several types of crystal bowls. There's the frosted crystal bowls, and then there are what's known as the alchemy crystal bowls. And he said that the alchemy crystal bowls, most of them, have the same vibration as the same frequency, I should say, same frequency as the angels. So when anybody plays a crystal bowl, they call in an angel or angels. So it's a joint operation. What's going on there? So that what you said is really really right on, because they work together. And also music calls in any kind of spirit, sacred music calls in the angels.
Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of people can understand this culturally, in the sense that, you know, some people might think, oh well, you know, are angels real? You could think mm-hmm. of it in terms of ancestral spirit. You can think of it in terms of Neturu if you're following like an Egyptian cosmogony.
Yes.
Because really these are all eternal, universal beings that present in different cultures and different ways. So it's not the idea of asking you to believe something that you don't, but to connect within to your own higher self, to your own higher direction, and to that connection that you individually have to the spirit realm. So I never really feel that this is something that is in any way contradictory to what a person might believe, because there's no contradiction really.
No, there's not, because it's all energy, and it all moves in, you know, for the good of all kind of thing. It's really remarkable. Also, do you know about the Akashic record readings?
I don't. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, I didn't know much about it until maybe a few years ago. I mean, I knew there was such a thing called Akashic readings, but it goes hand in glove with the energy healing that you do and moving the cells around. And the Akashic record, speaking of Egypt was what made me think of it, is that the Akashic record is a record of all of a human being's lifetime and future lifetimes. Now, how this can be, I have no idea. I just go along with the mystery, because so much of it is a mystery. And it is said that the Akashic records, energetically, the vibration of them, is held deep underneath the pyramid. and it's connected to the planet Sirius, to the star Sirius. Mm-hmm. And when a person reads the records, most Akashic readers have to do it in a very sacred, blessed space. I mean, you do an invocation and clear the space and like that. It's not just, you know, it's not just like a psychic reading that you go and get some information. But you bring down the information from the records. And the way I've been trained and I work, that we work with a team, a spiritual team, and that they are bringing the record to us. And within this record, when I read just one lifetime at a time. I think most people do, but everybody does it a little bit differently. And it helps clear a lot of trauma, because a lot of us human beings get stuck, and we don't know why, and we do the healing, and we do the therapy, and we do all kinds of things, and we're still like you get stuck with money, or you get stuck with health, or relationship is always a really big thing. Turns out that a lot of that is because in another lifetime, we made a vow or a promise based on a trauma that happened to us. And that vow or agreement is stuck within us because we vowed that we're going to, you know, I'm not going to do that anymore. And so I'm not going to allow love back into my life. Or I'm going to stay poor because it's better to be poor because you have better values. You know, things like that, stories that we tell ourselves. So within an Akashic reading, we get to see what happened in that lifetime to cause us to close down in a certain area. It can be very, very minute, very small, but it can have a great impact. So with the end of an Akashic reading, then we clear the vows and the contracts. You know, there's a ritualistic wording that I say and the people repeat after me. And we also do a forgiving, because we found out that, and if you don't forgive the other person, because this is all about oneself, that when we clear and forgive ourselves for making vows to ourselves and not knowing what went on and out of fear and out of beliefs, because a lot of it stems from beliefs. So we clear that, and then that level can clear, and then other levels can clear. I have to tell you, it's one of the most powerful things that I started doing for myself, of course, first. And I really saw how stories that I would tell myself, things that I would say, you know, in my head when I would walk around, they didn't exist anymore. It was just like they had never been there. And, of course, it takes, you know, a lot of work to do that. It doesn't just happen overnight. But clearing one lifetime can really, move things. And you find out where you've been sabotaging yourself. And it's something that you would never even have thought of. So it's very loving, and their Akashic readings are very loving. A lot of people say, well, I don't want to do that because I'm afraid of what I'll find out. But it's not like that. It's not like psychic readings where, you know, you're going to maybe find out something bad or something scary. They're not like that, because they're held in the spiritual team, and I also work with angels with that also, so that everybody is really like embraced and cocooned in love, so that it really moves us into our power, actually, to being a whole person rather than dragging around these burdens. But it all stems from Egypt in some very mysterious way.
Beautiful.
So, yeah.
And how would people connect with you if they wanted you to help them with that kind of work?
They could call me or email me. My phone number, my business phone number, is 917-650-3841. And my email is Sylvia, S-Y-L-V-I-A, at Sylvia Moss, and Moss is MOSS.com. And I always talk to people first, you know, and see if they have any questions about these things. And It's very powerful.
Well, that's really beautiful. So we will. So I just want to let our listeners also know that I'm putting this information into the PRN.fm archives. So if people don't get it all, a little bit later today, you'll be able to check there, and you'll find all the contact information and the address for today's event when you check the Heart of Mind archive page. It will all be there for you. And Sylvia, I would like, if you have a little bit more time, I would
yes.
like to go into, if you would, the significance of this sound bath, today's sound bath, being on an 11-11 day.
Well, I'm not too clear about the 11-11, but one thing that I know is that what I've been told is that the 11-11, it's a double number, and this just happens to be coincidental, maybe, that a lot of people, there's like a club of people that see on the clock, or a lot of people have seen it flash on television.
Yeah. The phenomena that happens all the time nowadays.
Yes, that they see this, they see 11-11 come up. I see 22s come up even. And one of the things that people have said is that it's the angels connecting with us. I'm not sure what it all means, but I know it's a very high vibration, and it's a very high connection, that when we see it, to pay attention. And it's really interesting. One other thing before I forget is that sometimes when I'm watching TV, because my TV has a clock at the bottom, and so sometimes I'll just happen to cast my eyes down, and there will be an 11-11 there. And I go, now, why did I cast my eyes down at that moment? I was just looking at the screen. So there's something very intuitive about it, that we connect in some way, and there may be messages. It also, as I'm talking to you, I think it may be that it's like a signal of, like, we're here, like, so we can connect into our spiritual beingness when we're in our everyday life. Because the moment I see that 11-11, I say, oh, yes, the angels or a spiritual connection.
Yeah. Well, I know that 11 in itself is a master number.
Yes.
And it has a very, like you said, a very high vibration, very high frequency. And that was also my understanding, that the 11-11 is a signal of, like you said, synchronicity or a spiritual presence. But there's something happening that's communicating through you that you would glance at that number at that
exact
moment. So from my perspective, I view it as kind of a portal, an opening for that connection. So it would probably have an advantage to doing such an event on a day such as 11-11.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
Because I think on these kinds of auspicious days, when whether it's a new moon or whether we're having an eclipse or any of those kinds of strong energy, it enhances whatever it is we're doing. It just makes it bigger and deeper.
Yeah.
And I had picked this date before I realized that it was an 11-11. I mean, because whenever I do an event, I always call my astrologer and I say, okay, these are the dates that I'm thinking about. What do you think? And so then she'll go through and she'll compare it with my chart to see if it's a good fit. And this just happened to be one of the dates that we picked for the angel meditations. So it's all very mysterious, but when you start looking at it, it all makes perfect sense. That's what's so fascinating to me.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think the more that we as a civilization can expand into greater truths of who we are as beings and come into communication with that aspect or facet of ourselves that is actually, from my perspective, living in the energetic realm, living in the angelic realm, living in multidimensional space, fifth dimension, seventh dimension. I believe that we are much more expansive than our senses will allow us to see or to perhaps comprehend. But there's always this intercommunication going on that if we pay attention to it, we do heal. We are able to heal our bodies, heal our lives, heal our relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm always grateful when I can, you know, bring people an expansion, an opportunity, and a new way to look at it.
Yes.
One of the things I wanted to also cover today, we're going to come back to your events, plus you also have some coming up in December. But I wanted to take a moment to reflect on the level of stress that everyone has been through with the election.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the level of stress that people seem to be, you know, embodying and carrying on. And I just really want to personally make the point that it's really an even more important time to connect with ourselves, to our spiritual life, to our inner life, to our inner wisdom, to stay centered and connected and not be drawn into whatever toxic behavior might be displayed for us by the media. It's really important for us to become centered even more so during these times. And I'm wondering if you had any thoughts on this whole political influence into our capacity to be well and to be centered.
Yes, because I had my own dramas around it, and I just discovered that a friend of mine didn't have the same beliefs that I had, and I spent hours last night texting back and forth because there's so much conspiracy theory out there, and the conspiracy theory stuff is one of the things that really worries me, because everybody believes things that they read, and we don't even know where it's coming from. And I really think what you just said about staying grounded, and I think we have to be even more due diligent with ourselves to stay focused on what's true. Not necessarily what's true in the media or true in our world, but spiritual truth. Because I was reminded last night as I was texting my friend that, because another friend of mine reminded me several days ago, remember, this is all an illusion. Now, that's a difficult thing to say to people when, you know, then they don't have enough food and they're paying more taxes than they believe that they should be paying, et cetera, et cetera. You know, what's an illusion? This is right in front of me. But all the spiritual teachings teach us that our physical life here on planet Earth is an illusion, and where the truth is in our spiritual life. So I know that whenever I get stuck, which I did, I mean, I was sobbing the other night. I mean, I got frightened. I mean, I just got frightened because of what was, not necessarily from the media, but from what I was hearing coming out of the certain person's mouth. And it brought up some of my trauma, my childhood trauma, because we've all got some kind of trauma of some sort. And all healers really have to work on that when they are learning to be healers. We have to get in touch with our own trauma. So this brought this up for me. So I realized that a lot of what we're seeing is what has been so, and a lot of people are saying this now, but a lot of what we're seeing, the hate and the bigotry and the misogyny and the really just scary stuff, is what we've been not acknowledging that's out there. That people do. There are people that believe this. There are people that think this way, and there are people that hate. But it's just coming out. And it has to, the good news and the bad news is that it has to come out so that we can then heal it. Because if it keeps staying buried, it'll just be buried and it'll just be all of this subversive stuff. And so that the good news is that it's coming out and that we can heal it. And hopefully we can pray and send light to the new administration. And one of the things that I was very moved by what President Obama did. Some people don't like President Obama, but I was very moved by how President Obama handled his meeting with Donald Trump. And I thought, this can be an example. I really hope people watch that to see the example. And maybe, I mean, I don't know what everybody's politics are, but I'm just going to say it. Maybe Donald Trump can really grow from this, and maybe this man could transform. I mean, that would be something wonderful. And as much as I don't want him to be our president, to be my president, he is. And it's the old thing of when someone dies, you have to go through the five stages of death. And I think I went through that, and I think that's what our country's going through, because we have to eventually accept it. And we have to have our feelings. And I don't think any of us or anyone should push their feelings down, but not misuse them. Have your feelings. Feel it in your body and express it with yourself and let it move through your body and not press it down. And if people tell you not to have your feelings, have your feelings quietly and in your own private space. But people must have their feelings, because when we don't have our feelings, with our private feelings, that's when we get sick. And that's why there's a lot of disease, because people have been taught not to express their feelings or not work on their feelings, just to push them down and, you know, be nice. And that's what's happening now. People push their feelings down too much, and now they're exploding. So my prayer is that people meditate more. If you don't know how to meditate, just sit quietly. Just sit quietly and breathe. And that actually is a meditation. Sit quietly and breathe and ask the spiritual forces in God or whoever you talk to help you and to help our country and the world, because the world is in the middle of this too. And lots of bad things look like they're bad that are happening, and they may not be.
Yes, I think this is my perspective as well. I don't, you know, I don't pretend that this is the best case scenario. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel necessarily that had Hillary Clinton won, it would be the best case scenario. I just think that mm-hmm. we're living in times that are very challenging. And as I kind of look back at this whole campaign, I feel like you were saying, it's almost as if all of the negativity and toxicity and hatred and conflict was lifted up into the open.
Yes.
For everyone to see.
Yes.
So I think we have an opportunity to just witness this. And I really believe that it's really important that we not jump into it.
Mm-hmm.
So to not get into the argumentation, to not dive into the fear and feel like things are going to get worse, to not really begin to absorb this energy, but to let it pass through.
Yes,
because
definitely.
Because in the end, I believe that it can dissipate.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that even some of the really hateful things that I've seen other, you know, not the candidates, but the people on the internet, on Facebook and YouTube, you know, there's just a lot of toxic stuff being spewed out.
Mm-hmm.
But my strategy is to not react to it, to mm-hmm. just let it lay there and allow people to contend with their own energies. I mean, anyone mm-hmm. who's spewing out the hatred and the toxic energy has to contend with that energy.
Yes.
And so to not engage it is, first of all, to protect yourself and to prevent yourself from going into it, but there's no fuel being added to it. So it's really important that we not add fuel to the fire with our own anger and rage. And so if everybody can take a step back and know for sure their own truth
mm-hmm.
and understand who they are, it doesn't matter what another person says,
mm-hmm.
And to just see how far this will go in the absence of being engaged, because after a time people are going to start looking in the mirror of their statements, in the mirror of their energy,
mm-hmm.
and either they're going to have to contend with it or it will be consuming to them.
Exactly.
So I think everybody has to take the space for their own healing and to allow this all to shake out. And I also agree with you. It's important to keep that inner light radiating forth. And we can pray for the highest outcome.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that that's the process we're on. We're on a process of evolution
mm-hmm.
that doesn't have space for those hidden angers and fears to be walking around in people like time bombs. It
yeah.
really needs to all be released and resolved.
Mm-hmm.
And I think on a societal level, that's what we're looking at. It's like the tumor is opening and all of the,
mm-hmm.
you know, the toxic material is flowing out. At least that's what I see.
No, you're absolutely right. And I've been feeling that thinking that and having that as my inspiration for quite a long time when this whole thing was starting. There was another thing that and I'm sure you know this, but I'll just tell our audience that there is a theory, and I've experienced it to be true, that when another person or group of people are really angry or feeling really, you know, angst, and fear, because fear is the thing that drives it, is that if you send love to that person, that's energy. And if you come from your heart, it's a tricky thing to learn how to do it. But when you get it, it really works wonderfully. If you send love from your heart and not your solar plexus, and your solar plexus lives right on top of your stomach, and that's where the fear comes from. They happen to be right next to each other, but if you can send love from your heart to the person who's in angst, like a person spewing negative, nasty things, it melts them. So if we can send love and be in quiet and send good thoughts to our government and to the people on the streets and whoever is upset, it will turn them around, and it does.
Yeah, I agree that that's absolutely necessary, and equally to be mindful of our own need to heal from whatever,
yeah.
like you said, anger or frustration or fear that we're own feeling, and not to allow that to be nurtured within us so that we can resolve it, bring in the violet flame, do
yes.
the breathing, release that from ourselves so that we can maintain a spiritual center in this age, which I'm calling the age of Trump. You know, it'll be interesting because
right.
if you really look at who this person is, it's sort of like the Joker or the Fool or the Trump card, if you were to look
yes.
at, you know, alchemy of cards. And it's like an unsuspected outcome. It's a game changer. And no matter how it looks, there's always the potential for each of us to be our own game changer and say, well, this is whatever's happening in the media, whatever it looks like, I'm going to give my energy to that which is going to heal our world
mm-hmm.
and support and sustain the communities who are doing the work, like the water protectors who are trying to defend the land, like people
yes.
who are really doing good work. We need to focus our energy into people who are really doing good work in the world and not allow our energy to take a nosedive into this toxic worldview that's
mm-hmm.
being fed to us through the media. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, realistically through these power brokers that are doing everything they can to undermine the evolution of humanity. So I see it as a bigger picture.
Yes.
It's about greed, but it's also about trying to hold us under that lock and key. And
mm-hmm.
the best way to get revenge, if there is such a thing, is to sidestep that and keep our center, our spiritual center, and to be able to protect and heal our energies and sustain and support each other in
yes.
the work that we're doing.
Definitely. And one of the other things that I'm beginning to see is playing a big part in this, the fear and then the hate stuff. It's been going on for a while, is all the stuff on the internet. And I mean, I get caught up in it too, but then I can catch myself. I mean, I don't go on internet, YouTube stuff that often unless somebody tells me to go watch something. But when I do, then I see the other stuff and I'll sort of click on it, and it's just, I would really like this message to get out. This may be my message to the world. I don't know. But the internet is not a fact checker. Because people, when they read things on the internet, they believe it's true. And I say to some of my friends, I say, why do you think that the internet would be giving you the truth? And so it boggles my mind that this is happening. But I guess because it's out of the box kind of thing. But there's so much stuff on the internet that's not true, and that people just say whatever they want to say, which, you know, drives me crazy. But I think it's just to be aware and to be heads up about it kind of thing, just to really not fall into that trap. The same way as not to fall into the trap of CNN or whatever, you know, news stuff that you're watching. Just to look at it, you know, a little at a distance kind of thing.
Exactly. And it's really important for everyone to surround yourself, for all of us to surround ourselves with those energetic experiences that are going to nourish us. And
yes.
So with that, I want to get back and remind people about your event, because it is today, and this
Thank
is
you.
An opportunity to self-nourish and to really, you know, begin to engage. I have some events coming up as well. I'm going to speak about that.
Oh, nice.
But first, let's tell people once again about your Sound Bath Salon in the Heart Zone.
Okay. So I'm working with the six archangels, Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, Uriel, Camuel, and Zachael. And each one of them, they come in with the crystal bowls. They come in, and when we get deep into the meditation, they're actually working on you and with you to help you release anything that's stuck in your body, or something that you just picked up on the street, whatever energies need to be healed, they're who are actually working on you. Now, that may sound a little airy-fairy to some people, and if you just look at it as energy, that the energy is being cleared, and it's a night of healing. And the other thing about this is there is an oversoul angel who I was told, and her name is Celestia, and she's an angelic mother. Mm-hmm. And she sort of guides this whole thing. And we take a journey, a visualization with the angels and with the crystal bowls. And with the sound bath added, I play the crystal bowls longer, and I have more crystal bowls. And then I go around the room with one particular bowl, and I play it over every person's body so that
okay.
it really clears things and it really brings the light right into you. So
okay,
it's
and that's
very
today.
Powerful.
We're
yes.
running out of time. So it's
okay.
today, Friday, November 11th from 7:30 till 9 p.m.
Right.
And it's 1133 Broadway at 26th Street, 6th floor, Suite 609. And people can pay in person, I presume, since it's so
yes.
close.
Yes,
it's $30.
If they can, but if they would call or email mm-hmm. me, so that I know that we have enough room, so that I know that they're coming, that would be good.
Well,
the RSVP.
So give the number and email again quickly.
Yes, 917-650-3841. Email is sylvia@sylviamoss.com.
Excellent. And I just want to remind people that I have a few events also coming up. I'm doing an ongoing series on mind-body healing with Qigong at Studio Maya in Brooklyn. And we've just extended through the end of December, so you can find out more about that by going to the website. QigongOnline.net, QigongOnline, QigongOnline.net. And we have a four-week training series that includes connecting to Earth and the cosmic flow, deep tissue relaxation, self-massage, different kinds of techniques, as well as trance dance. So it's at Studio Maya, 603 Bergen Street in Brooklyn, 11238, also coming up on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, the Spiritual Support Group meeting. That's Wednesday, November 16th from 7:15 to 9:15 at Jnana Yoga Wellness Center, 97 Bond Street. And starting in January, we'll be teaching Soaring Crane Qigong at the New York Open Center. So there's a lot going on. I invite you to go to the website at prn.fm. That's easy to remember. Search Heart of Mind Radio, and you will see links and phone numbers and emails to everything we've spoken about today. And I want to thank you very much, Sylvia, for joining me today. I've enjoyed speaking with you this morning. And I want to thank all of our listeners as well for staying tuned in to the Progressive Radio Network, prn.fm. And so bye for now, and we'll talk again.
Thank you so much, Catherine.
You're very welcome.